Is your money being left on the table?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Taxpayers rescued America's banks, and a report out this morning concludes, so far, we're not getting enough in return. See, in exchange for the rescue, the government received entitlements to bank shares. These are called warrants. And when the banks repay the bailout money, they're allowed to buy back those warrants. And whether taxpayers make money on that deal depends on the price. This morning, a congressional oversight panel said in the case of the smaller banks, the Treasury Department has been setting that price too low, leaving taxpayers short. We're joined by the head of that oversight panel, Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your panel has said that if the government follows this model with the huge banks, the J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, the taxpayers could lose $2 billion. Why would the Treasury leave so much taxpayer money on the table?
Well, our job in the oversight panel is basically to make sure that they don't leave money on the table. But we also acknowledge that there are competing policy demands. And, you know, when you try to get out fast, that may change the price. The valuation process, I want to be clear, you know, it's not an exact science. Nonetheless, it is important to pay attention to the development of a fair market value and at least aim in that direction.
So you've released this report this morning. Now what happens with it?
Well, now Treasury, having made the decision to turn loose of these 10 large banks, continues the business of negotiating out the price that these banks will have to pay for the warrants in order to be able to get out of the TARP system. And whatever happens there will determine how much of the upside the American taxpayer gets for the rescue that it gave to at least some of the biggest financial institutions who at least seem to be doing better right now.
Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren heads the Congressional Oversight Panel monitoring the Federal Bank Rescue Program. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
And speaking of the taxpayer, government-assisted General Motors is out of bankruptcy this morning. It hasn't been announced yet, but a source says the all-night paperwork session wrapped up about 2 hours ago. GM officially transferred its best assets to a new company controlled by the U.S. government. News conference to come in a few minutes in Detroit. Major European stock markets are down less than 1% this morning. Asian stocks were mixed. Japan reported a deflation in producer prices, and the Nikkei fell for the 8th straight day. Yesterday, the Dow was flat, gaining just 4 points at 8,183. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ each gained 0.3%. The U.S. trade deficit shrank unexpectedly in May to the lowest reading in almost 10 years. That news just in from the government. Exports actually rose, and the trade gap is now at a still hefty $26 billion.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
You know the old saying, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach him to fish, and he'll eat for life. In Italy this morning, G8 leaders are taking that to heart with a new $20 billion plan for world food aid. From our European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
No one doubts the scale of the crisis. The UN reckons 1 billion people will go hungry this year. Today, the G8 is proposing to tackle the problem with a different approach, to move the emphasis away from direct donations of food towards investment in third world agriculture. The idea is to help farmers in poor countries become more productive. John Slater of the Oxfam Aid Agency welcomes the plan.
The purpose of aid should be to help people stand on their own 2 feet, not to leave people continuously dependent on aid. And investing in long-term agriculture helps do that.
If the plan proves effective, it will mean the U.S. government, the largest food donor, will send more cash to the developing world and less homegrown produce bought from American farmers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
After President Obama leaves the G8 summit, he heads to Ghana for his first presidential visit to sub-Saharan Africa. He could easily have picked a different African country. South Africa is the biggest economy there. Nigeria is a major oil supplier to the U.S. And, of course, there's Kenya, where his father was born. Reporter Gretchen Wilson explains why Obama chose Ghana and what it says about his approach to Africa and to the developing world.
Ghana's not an economic powerhouse. GDP of the former British colony barely tops $17 billion. But the White House calls the country one of our most trusted partners in sub-Saharan Africa. That's because of Ghana's sound governance. Ross Herbert is with the South African Institute of International Affairs.
It went through many years of coups and counter-coups and instability, and it seems to have, in recent years, really learned some of those hard lessons about what not to do.
In last year's presidential election, opposition leader John Atta Mills beat incumbent John Kufuor by just a few thousand votes. Kufuor conceded and stepped down. Compared to Ghana's neighbors, this democratic transfer of power stands out.
It's comparatively an island of stability in a sea of instability in West Africa.
That's what President Obama says his visit will underscore. Last week, he spoke to All Africa Media, an online news company.
Countries that are governed well, that are stable, where the leadership recognizes that they are accountable to the people and that institutions are stronger than any one person, have a track record of producing results for the people, and we want to highlight that.
Tomorrow, President Obama will give a major speech on development and democracy in the Ghanaian parliament. He's likely to promote the idea that transparency, strong court systems, and regular elections can lead to economic growth.
You're not going to get investment without good governance.
President Obama's visit will be brief. He'll return to the U.S. tomorrow night. But we'll hear more about U.S. relations with Africa later this summer. In August, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will attend a trade forum in Nairobi, Kenya, and visit several other countries on the continent. I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. I hope you can visit us online. Our blogger, Scott Jagow, is looking at the British phone tapping scandal and asking whether the privacy gene is disappearing from the human race. That's Marketplace.org. Have a good Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.